Good to see everybody back afterwards. I can kind of identify with Steve. I'm worried I might go to sleep while I'm preaching, but I'll try not to. I actually think this is an important topic. I always try to preach on something that's important because it's from the Bible. But this kind of came up. This question came up last week. It's come up in the past as well, and I just kind of wanted to maybe give some food for thought as far as the question about the phrase "the broken body of Christ," because it has been used for a number of years, and at the same time we have a scripture that tells us that no bones of Christ's body were broken. And so how do we reconcile these two phrases? One phrase is found in the King James Version as far as the broken body of Christ, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. And so we want to find out, how do we reconcile not only this, but any question that we have about Scripture? Appreciated Steve coming forward last week. Steve came and he had gotten a note from somebody about the use of the phrase "broken body of Christ," and I told him I grew up with that phrase because I grew up with the King James Version. As a matter of fact, on most Sunday mornings, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 was read before the communion. And it was always kind of understood when I was growing up that when it talked about the broken body of Christ, that it was referring to his flesh and not to his bones. But we have the question as to whether or not that phrase is actually within the original Greek or not. And so I wanted to look at that and just begin by saying this. It's important for us to know how to handle Scripture. We have to be able to reconcile Scripture and make sure that it's consistent. Either we can reconcile passages within the Bible or we can't. If we can't reconcile something within the Bible, we have a problem. And an excellent example of that is Acts chapter 12, verse 4. The original King James translators came across the word Passover, but because they were celebrating Easter and they wanted to promote Easter, and King James wanted to promote Easter, they stuck the word Easter within the text. Didn't belong there. The word was the Passover. Something like that is easily and readily identifiable. The reason you cannot reconcile the word Easter being within the body of Scriptures is because it's not in there. And you can easily go back to the Greek text and find out that they had intentionally taken the word Passover and just put what they wanted in there. You have other instances where you have things that are not as readily identifiable. One of the charges that the King James translators had was, don't change anything that we're doing now. Well, one of the things they were doing at that time, both within the Catholic Church and the Church of England, was they were sprinkling. Well, they came to the word immerse. What were they going to do with that? Well, instead of translating the word immerse, what they did was they just took the Greek word baptizo or baptizo, depending on how you pronounce that, and they transliterated it. They gave it an anglicized sound to it, and they made the word baptize and baptism instead of putting the word immerse in there. And that has created a lot of difficulty for a lot of years because a lot of people, when they read the word baptism, they think that sprinkle or pour will fit in that that word, but it does not. Baptism means to immerse. It's the only thing it can mean. And so when you have a difficulty like that, it's very helpful, again, to go back to the original Greek. The beauty of what God did for us in the Bible, I think, is something that I've kind of grown to appreciate more and more as the years have gone by. But there are over 5,000 manuscripts of the Bible. A manuscript is a copy of the original text in its original language. Some of the manuscripts we have are just a few verses long. Some of them are entire scrolls consisting of several books, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament. And obviously, we have a lot more of the New Testament than we do the Old Testament. Well, that's where we have this question come in as far as the body of Christ. And I want to start off with the passage in John chapter 19. It was the day of the preparation. The next day was to be a special Sabbath because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus and then those of the other. If you're familiar with crucifixion, you know that crucifixion essentially suffocated the person. as long as their legs were whole, they could push themselves up on the cross and they could bring air into their lungs, and then they would let their legs fall again and to where they could just hang there. It was a brutal, terrible way to die. And very often they would come and they would break the legs of the people who were being crucified so as to shorten the execution. In this manner, they were trying to shorten the execution because the next day was a Passover, and they wanted to make sure that this was taken care of before the sun set. Well, that's what's going on here. The soldiers came, broke the legs of the first man and the second man, but when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Now, this is going to be important for a very obvious reason. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and this testimony is true. Now, I don't know anything about medical facts, but I do know from what I've read that when a person dies, the fluids within their body start to separate, and that's why it was important to John to point out that he saw that the blood and the water flowed down. They had separated. He was dead, in other words. And that was seen when the soldier pierced Jesus' side, and that was the reason he did that. The soldier knew that too. He wanted to make sure he was dead, and in fact he was. Verse 35, after he says this testimony is true, he knows that he tells the truth and testifies that you may also believe. Now, this is the part I wanted you to notice. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones was broken. And as other scriptures say, they will look upon the one they have pierced. Well, the passage that tells us that no bones would be broken is from Psalms, the 34th chapter. 1,000 years before the crucifixion, it says, talking about God and his Messiah, he protects all his bones, not one of them will be broken. The reason it's so important for us to understand that no bones would be broken was because that was the prophecy. If he had had bones broken, he wasn't the Messiah, because the prophecy wasn't fulfilled. So this becomes a very serious question when we talk about whether any bones were broken or not. Now, if you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 24, I want to read from the King James Version first and read what most of you who are my generation or older, as I mentioned, probably would have heard just about every Sunday read as we gathered around the table, at least in the places that I was at. 1 Corinthians 11:24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After, in the same manner, also he took the cup after he had supped. "The cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this do ye as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Well, now we have this problem. We have the words of Christ as translated in the King James Version, "This is my body broken for you," and we have the prophecy and the fulfillment of the prophecy where we're told no bones were broken. So how do you reconcile that? Well, there are several things, I think, to take into consideration. I want to try and look at them fairly quickly. I'll probably go a little over 12 minutes today, but I will try to keep it to the point and something that you can stay awake through. The first is this. We mentioned the manuscripts. Only some of the manuscripts actually have this phrase, "my body broken for you." Most of the manuscripts actually say, "This is my body which is for you." As a matter of fact, the earliest and the most reliable manuscripts, those copies of the scripture in its original language, say, "This is my body which is for you." So one way we can reconcile this is if this phrase does not belong. If they came down a few years later after the Bible was translated and somebody mistranslated something and put the word broken. But I do want to say this. Many of the manuscripts have the phrase, "This is my body broken for you." That's why the King James, the New King James, kept that. But the newer versions, most of the newer versions, do not have that in there. The Revised Standard, the New American Standard, the English Standard Version, the New International Version, and others because the earliest and most reliable manuscripts don't have "this is my body broken for you." They just have "this is my body which is for you." And that's the way it reads within those versions. So there's the possibility it doesn't belong. The second possibility, as we're trying to reconcile the scripture, is it does belong. And so that possibility, I think, needs to be looked at. Since many of the manuscripts include the word broken, including the King James and New King James translators relying on those manuscripts, how would we reconcile that? One way is to say, and many do say this, that the word broken belongs, but it's referring to the bread. And let me go back and read this passage. "When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.'" And he could be referring to the bread. The problem comes in with the sentence structure and with the grammar, because after the same manner he took the cup he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." Well, in order to be consistent with the way he was saying it, that would, if he's talking about the bread being broken, then he'd have to be talking about the contents of the cup being blood. Or he was changing his grammar and he was changing his sentence structure. And Jesus did not seem to do that within his ministry. He seemed to be very adept at the way he was talking. But I do want to say this. That's a possibility. And I don't think that that might not be possible. The other way to reconcile it that would make sense is this. The word broken does, in fact, refer to his body, but just part of his body. In Genesis chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 23, the man said, let me just read 21 also. "The Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh.'" And so you see that the man, from the very earliest of times, referred to the body being comprised of two things, flesh and bone. And so it could be that he's talking about his flesh. If that word belongs, broken, that he's just talking about the flesh and not the bones. And we understand that one can be broken without the other. His hands were pierced. We know that his skin was pierced, but also the flesh pierced as well, broken. We know that his side was pierced, the skin first, but also the flesh. And so that's a possibility that that's what Jesus was talking about. If that phrase belongs, "my body broken for you," that he was just talking about the flesh. And the reason that could be a possibility is found in John chapter 6 and verse 48. "I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh." When they partook of the Passover lamb, they were to consume the whole lamb, but that didn't mean the bones or the unclean organs or the blood, certainly, just the flesh. It was to be all of it. And so now Jesus is saying, "This bread is my flesh." And so that's the third possibility. Let me review the possibilities. One, that the word broken, when Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you," was never intended to be within the scripture. If that's the case, there's no problem with that. The second is it does belong. And when he says, "This is my body broken for you," he's talking about the bread itself and not his body. That works. That reconciles. And the third is to say, "This is my body broken for you." And he's talking, referring to his flesh. And that reconciles. I don't know which one it is. And quite frankly, I'm not sure that it's that important that I have to know everything. But I do think that it's important that as we look at this, that we see that when you have difficulties within the scripture, whether we have a word that doesn't belong, whether we have a word that was changed, transliterated, or whether we have something that may or may not belong, we can reconcile the Word of God because the Word of God is flawless. It's up to us to make sure we do it. And again, I want to say this. I realize that from time to time we will hear somebody mention what I heard just about every Sunday, either a prayer of thanksgiving for the broken body of Christ, or they will mention that. I would just be forbearing on that because there's a possibility that he's referring to his flesh, and that's correct. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody mention the broken body of Christ thinking they were talking about the bones, but if they were talking about that, that would be incorrect, and that would be a contradiction of the Scriptures. And so, that's the lesson for this evening. I hope it was helpful to you. Even though it was not especially evangelistic, I do want to say this. If there's anyone who's ready to become a Christian today, we would love to help you with that. And won't you come and let us know while we stand and sing?